Mini-episode 927 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. We have a great guest with us here again today, at Swollen Dome himself, Michael Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Michael is here to talk NFL with us, starting with the NFC, because the big story right now, well, I guess the joint big stories, it's sort of a turnstile kind of a thing, isn't it? Carson Wentz goes, Aaron Rodgers comes in, and as was touched upon in the fantasy part here, in terms of Aaron Rodgers, that's going to make a big difference for Green Bay. In terms of Philadelphia, I'm wondering how far down they tumble here without him, because obviously, yes, Nick Foles has had some glimmers of success in Philadelphia previously. It's a deep offense as far as having talent to work with, but to the naked eye, I'm looking at this and going, I don't know if I've ever seen a week where a team takes a loss like New Orleans and potentially shoots up in the power rankings the way that they do, because with Drew Brees and that defense, they may not have a first-round bye, but to my naked eye, New Orleans might come out of the whole thing here smelling like a rose better than anybody.
Pick them before the season to make the NFC title game.
Wow.
They're pretty good about that right now. I'd expected some better play out of this defense. Couldn't have anticipated they'd be as good as they've been, and obviously mentioned Kamara before. Obviously a huge win. Quickly, the fantasy thing related to Aaron Rodgers. Man, you can dust off Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson out of mothballs.
Yes.
At least for a moment or two, so that's good. So you've got that at value going through. But the NFC, a bit of a muddled mess, and I think it's going to be fun to watch to see how this separates out. Because Wentz had everybody flying, now Foles, it's been a while. It's kind of like the conversation, not to get sidetracked by, you know, a Colin Kaepernick conversation, but when people say, look how good he was, I'm like, that's 5 years ago already.
Right.
That's a long time in NFL years. Doesn't mean that they can't put something together to keep things rolling, because there's certainly a lot of talent on this team, but you look at the way it breaks out. Rams are scoring points. Robert Woods will be back in theory this week. You've got Seattle and Atlanta and all these. They're all flawed. They'll have some big problem that goes with their teams right now. The Rams still give up a bunch of points. As good as they've been in spots, they can still get after it. Seattle, you got that banged up secondary. The identity is lost. I don't know none of those guys got suspended for all that stupidity this past week.
Right.
But that's a whole other thing. The Vikings, still Case Keenum. When it's all said and done, are you trusting Case Keenum? I guess in this NFL season, you have to say, okay, I'm in. As long as Xavier Rhodes is still locking down a number one and getting after it that way, that they've been able to piece it together, because Thielen's a phenomenal talent. Diggs and Rudolph, I mean, you've got explosive playmakers that are in a backfield that's been better than I think most anticipated. But you go down the line. Carolina, they show up as quickly and then disappear as quickly as they came. And Atlanta defensively lapses. Julio Jones disappears at times. The only two guys I trust on a weekly basis are Mohamed Sanu and Freeman.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's been consistent at best. And really a downturn markedly from where we were a year ago, talking about all his greatness. So, you know, you've got a race of teams. The Saints come out as the most complete, where you at least check every box, saying, all right, I've got a number one receiver that can dominate a game. I've got a quarterback who's been there, who's led. I mean, we'll have no idea why you're throwing it to Josh Hill on a second down into triple coverage, but that's a whole other thing for another time, and why Sean Payton's running onto the field. See, all these little things that jump into play that you remember and you scratch your head over, but everybody's got their flaws. You know, even the AFC, you get back to that, and, you know, Pittsburgh giving up big play after big play. New England, the last couple of weeks, look uninspired offensively and defensively this week. Saw shades of the team we saw for the first month. So all of a sudden, you've got the Superchargers out here in Los Angeles in front of their 25,000 people, and you've a playoffs that becomes pretty interesting. That, you know, hot team rolling in could find their way to Minnesota. And yes, that did not roll off the tongue at all. Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. All the media people are going to be complaining about that. And it's funny you mention about Case Keenum, because you look at that with Minnesota there. There have only been two teams previously that have even come close to making the Super Bowl in their own backyard. It wasn't their home stadium, but it was in their home market, the 84 49ers, the 79 Rams. Case Keenum, they're counting on him being the Vince Ferragamo of 2017, aren't they?
Well, that's exactly it. That's the way it's playing out here. And it's been really kind of interesting to watch how that team's developed and gone through this season, left to the third quarterback. Obviously, the injury to Bridgewater we knew about, but then you start going down the line. Sam Bradford starts off playing well, and given his proficiency in the past of working the ball downfield, you're able to make and take full advantage of Thielen and Diggs. But then as things go, you know, the NFL being what it is, Sam Bradford being Sam Bradford, I guess, was the larger thing here. Between Dalvin Cook and Bradford, you lose two huge playmakers, leader of your squad. And Keenum, I mean, he was a backup here. He was a backup here. I mean, the best meme of 2017 might have been, you know, when you had him embracing Jared Goff and saying, we don't have to play for Jeff Fisher anymore. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so it's one of those things. And guys waiting on opportunities and right systems and having a coach that is hard-nosed and like Zimmer is and gets after it, but still, you know, they have enough faith in the playing and working the ball downfield. Like, they're not playing it safe. Remember the first month of the season, how we marveled at Alex Smith and how he was pushing the ball downfield? He hasn't done that for quite some time now. That they've changed how they've operated that offense. With Minnesota, they still give Keenum the ability to put the ball up and try to make plays and stretch the field, knowing that if he does make a mistake, they've got a defense good enough to cover.
Yep, he's been uncanny so far. The AFC probably won't consume as much of our time as the NFC. It's a more simplistic canvas. You got New England and Pittsburgh. New England pretty much owns Pittsburgh as they have for the last 17, 18 years. We get to see them actually play this week and see how that shakes out. Jacksonville with their defense, they really stuck at the Pittsburgh earlier this year, having an amazing season, especially for not having Allen Robinson. The Chargers have been red hot lately, looking like a legitimate threat, perhaps, if they can still make the playoffs, which is by no means certain after that start that they got off to, although they've dug themselves out of the hole pretty well. But is it really New England and everybody else at this point, notwithstanding what we saw Monday night, or do you think anybody can cause them any kind of a headache?
Well, I think when we look at the teams overall, and I mean, at this point, talking with Mr. Smith on the evening show earlier the week, you know, not to be, I guess, technically the homer, since they're in my backyard playing over at StubHub Center, but the Chargers are really interesting, right? You got a two-headed monster in the back. Gordon, obviously, the lead, but Eckler making a play now and again. You look at the wide receivers and what Keenan Allen's been able to do and a couple of ancillary parts. Hunter Henry's been more involved in the offense of late as Antonio Gates gets ready to take a bow on his career. Phillip Rivers with his sidearm, underarm, whatever you want to call it, delivery three-quarter, has been making big plays. And defensively, you got two guys that can get after your quarterback and wreak havoc and change a game, you know, in a snap of a finger. And I think that's one thing that's lacking with these other teams, with New England. They don't have a pure pass rusher that can disrupt things. With Pittsburgh, they don't have someone that can cover up the deficiencies in that secondary. And losing Chazier, you know, in that horrific manner 2 weeks ago, he's the guy that made that defense run. So you saw this past week. Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to get rope-a-doped like the referees were continually. I thought it was a badly officiated game when you start calling the lollipop Joe Flacco bombs downfield and you're going to call a bunch of pass interference penalties to bail them out on bad play calling choices. That's just me, but it made for an exciting brand of football and a high-scoring game. Except for those riding with the Pittsburgh Steelers defense that got victimized by some of those long pass interferences setting up short possessions. But, you know, the Chargers are the one team in all of this that I think we potentially cause some problems. I don't believe in the Ravens overall with Joe Flacco on that offense. I just don't see enough out of them. With Jacksonville, Blake Bortles has been more impressive, as you alluded to earlier, but do they have enough firepower, and can they bank on the defense in a playoff atmosphere? You know, guys, really, many of them in their first run in the playoffs, is that something that they'll be able to finish against those playmakers in both New England and Pittsburgh, especially if New England gets healthy, right? We saw some of Hogan this past week. Gronkowski was suspended one game for the stupidity. He comes back. So, you know, they'll have their full deployment of stars going down the stretch here. So I think it's, you got three teams. I'm going to put the Chargers in just as the fly in the ointment, as it were.
They very much could be, and again, 10 years from when they made it to the AFC Championship, bowed out against the then-perfect Patriots, a chance to go back 10 years later and try to make things right. It'll be fascinating if it plays out that way. Certainly more interesting than if it's New England-Pittsburgh again. But, well, to bring it full circle on the NFL, I'll ask you this. If Pittsburgh beats New England this weekend, does that do anything to change the narrative in terms of them having any kind of a shot whatsoever if they meet up in the AFC Championship game?
Well, sure, because then it goes through Pittsburgh as opposed to New England. I mean,
okay.
So you're at least looking at it from that perspective, playing at Heinz Field against the creature comforts of Gillette. So I think you've got a little bit there, but it's also, you're looking at the history says, all right, that may just be a blip on the radar. Yes, it does shift to where the game gets played, but is it enough to upset the apple cart? Look, they're going to put up points. I think this becomes one of those high-scoring games. I don't think this is a grinded-out factor, particularly with the issues both seem to be having in their secondaries at the moment. New England, though, again, I don't know what to read into what we saw from Monday night. Like there were a lot of points where it looked like they were playing uninspired football and didn't, like, there was no barking at coordinators this time or receivers or anything, just a lot of looking tired and wanting to be anywhere else and waiting on the playoffs more than anything else. So with that in our pocket, we look ahead and hope we at least get a fun game on Sunday afternoon as a precursor. Look, if it's another repeat, I'll take a repeat. I mean, we do it in the NBA, and we can pencil in the four teams for the conference finals when they tip the ball off in mid-October. I'm okay with doing that in the NFL if it's going to mean that I get to see the stars on parade as opposed to someone who just happens to catch fire for 2 or 3 weeks, because in the end, if it sets up a situation where we get a terrible matchup down the line and a blowout in the title game, that's not fun for anybody. See NCAA tournament year after year for all the dopes that cheer for upsets.
Right. That's true. That's exactly how it plays on. You know, you raise a good point here, too. As a lifelong Cavs fan, I don't want to be a hypocrite about this. I'm not crying about the Cavs making it back to the finals every year in the NBA, so I can't bemoan repeats in the NFL either. So we'll see how it plays out. But regardless, it is always a pleasure talking football with you, Michael Harmon. Love listening to you on Fox Sports Radio, as I know our whole audience does. And always a pleasure to get to catch up with you on the show, sir. At Swollen Dome on Twitter. And thank you so much for being on with us again today, Michael.
Great things ahead. Look forward to the next time when we're talking about the fantasy titles we didn't win and setting up the shop for 2018. And when you're ready to do the drunken rehash of what happened this year overall, and who let us down in the finals, you let me know. If I can just let off a bunch of expletive, riddled kind of statements, I'm there.
Well, there's no dumb button, unlike your chosen medium here every night, Michael. So, we can let our freak flag fly, no question about it. Let people see a different Michael Harmon, no editing whatsoever on him.
He may or may not be hammered, and now he's cursing about players who let him down. Festivus taken to the 100th level.
Oh, well, I hope to avoid that fate myself. I still have a theoretical chance at a title. I'll see if I can close it out in the next 3 weekends, I should say. But always a pleasure having you on, Michael. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today to the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.